Well, at least one day a week, Megillas Rus. We'll start today, Megillas Rus. There's many reasons for the reading of Megillas Rus. We spoke about it in the last Machzor. Why we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. Of course, one of the most famous reasons is the Yichus of David HaMelech. The Yahrzeit and Shavuos with all the Svaros that go along with it. But after everything is all said and done, it's modern that a side issue happens to be that Shavuos has a connection to David HaMelech, that becomes a kriya that's miyuchat to Shavuos. It's a big chiddush. And l'chayra, if you want to read about David HaMelech, there's a lot more direct ways to read about David HaMelech than to read Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus doesn't even say one word about David HaMelech. It rather talks about where he came from. L'mais, if you were by David HaMelech's Levaya, and you were giving a hesped, right? Mistama, you would skip the whole Rus stuff. Because that's what all the Achronim ask, how is it that David HaMelech came from Rus? Not that Rus wasn't a tzaddikus. She was. But David HaMelech come from Rus. She's a Moyaviyah. It's Machlekes in Beis Medrash and Yevamos. Whether you mutu lovi bakal, David HaMelech mutu lovi bakal, machlekes nehemah. So it's true, we paskin mayavi v'loy mayaviyah v'loy mayavis. We paskin that only a mayavi, only a male mayavi is also, and therefore Rus was permitted lovi bakal. We're going to learn a lot of in the end, towards the end of the Megillah, that it wasn't so pashut. That whole drasha wasn't so pashut. The Boaz, when he praises Rus, he says, you came to a nation that didn't know you, Tamol Shulshan. So Chazal tell us that actually she came right when they were Mechadish this din. I mean, obviously it wasn't a Chiddush, it was Halacha Meshi B'Sinai, but they didn't know it, meaning it was unknown, that Moyavi V'loy Moyavis. So meaning, basically Boaz told her, you came in the nick of time. This nation, Tmol Shulshan, would have no shaykhs to you. Right? You would have been impossible to get a shidduch. Not it would have been difficult to get a shidduch. But if I have a shidduch resume, and on top of the resume it says the girl is a Moyavio, right? Parents goyim. She's a Moyavio. With a footnote on the bottom. I know you're not allowed to marry a Moyavi, but don't worry, it's Moyavi v'lo Moyavis. Such a resume, it's not even going to make it to the bottom of the pile. Right? It's the ultimate shidduch crisis. Nobody wants to marry somebody that you need to be a gan salam to know that she's mutter to marry her. So this is all the mefarshim ask. David HaMelech? David HaMelech is the shy of yichus. I always tell the chassidim when they tell me, you know, the rebbe comes from David HaMelech. By chassidim, to say you come from David HaMelech, I say it's made from Rus. Right, let's get it straight. I mean, it's from Rus, right? So rather the Sforim HaKadoshim say that it was almost like the Satan's always there. When something big is supposed to happen, the Satan tries to stop it from happening. Right? The Satan is Makatrik. So the Eibush, the Dafka made that David HaMelech should come from such a far place that there was no Kitrik. David HaMelech would have come from center stage, it would have been Kitrugim on it. Almost the kasha is the teretz. It's true. Meaning that teretz is acknowledging, you know what, it's not the perfect picture for David HaMelech. She came from Ogiyaris, from Moyav. What's pshat? Right? But that's pshat. What's pshat is pshat. That in order to avoid the kitrug, the Eibishter hides the diamond. Right? Evan Masu Abonim Hoysel Hoyshpina. The Eibishter hides the diamond so that there shouldn't be a kitrik. That's one approach. But that's like a bedievit approach. Meaning, is there a l'chatchil approach how to understand it? But whatever it is, here we see this Megillah is another raya that the Rishonim are telling us has to do with David HaMelech, and l'chvoyde shel David HaMelech, we read it on Shavuos. Why is that? This is the way to be mechabedim. L'chvoid David HaMelech. There's other things we could read. There's some beautiful things in Tehillim that we could read. L'chvoid Shel David HaMelech. That have to do with David HaMelech. There's psukim in Tanakh, and Shmuel, and in Melochim, that you could read beautiful things about David HaMelech. Why here? Why this? So that's the obvious question. Okay. The Megillah starts, Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim. So normally the way you read the pasuk, definitely on an elementary level, Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim, is it's coming to mark the historical time that this Megillah is referring to. What time period was it in Klal Yisrael? Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim. Right? The times of the Shoftim. The obvious question is, what do you mean? That doesn't tell me anything. That'd be like I'm trying to tell you an exact date, right? So I tell you, this happened. You want to know when this story happened? This story happened when I was in Muncie. I was born in Muncie. I'm in Muncie when people used to piss when I went to shul, 3 cows and 1 person. There's no community here. Right? That's why I grew up. Muncie was not Monticello, much less than Monticello. Right? So if I tell you, you know, I want to tell you when this story happened. This story happened when I lived in Muncie. Yeah, it cuts out a couple of tkufas where I was in Eretz Yisrael, but other than that, it gives you no idea when it happened. So the Shoftim was 400 years plus. The tkufas HaShoftim. Right? So if the Megillah wants to give you a time when it happened, what do you tell me? It happened about, you know, in this 400-year tkufa. You're not telling me anything. You're not telling me. Tell me a time. So obviously the Megillah is trying to say something. Not stam, historical time, trying to say something. So it seems Chazal are bothered with this question, because Chazal say, Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim. It doesn't say, Vayehi bimei HaShoftim. It says, Vayehi bimei Shvoit. It's a double lashon. Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim. Again, it means when the Shoftim were judging Klal Yisrael, right? But it's redundant. It should just say Vayehi bimei HaShoftim. We know Shoftim HaShoftim. Shoftim HaShoftim. Shoftim. So what do you have to say? Shvoit HaShoftim. So Chazal tell us a fascinating thing. They tell us Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim. It was the time when people judged the judges. Yeah? Meaning the people didn't accept the judges. Ishkol Ayosha ben Aviasa, like it says. Meaning, so people would look at the judges and say, who are you to judge me? So it doesn't mean, Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim, simply it means, when the judges judged, that would be redundant. It means, Fakelt, Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim. People judged the judges. So that means, l'chayr, according to that drasha of Chazal, that if you take the whole tekufa of the Shoftim, which wasn't a great tekufa, wasn't a good tekufa for Klal Yisrael, the Shoftim tekufa, and you take the lowest point, that's this. We're not just talking about the tekufa of the Shoftim, we're talking about the tekufa where Klal Yisrael judges the Shoftim. Meaning, so now we're already getting a little bit more of a timeline. If it's just Vayehi bimei HaShoftim, there's no timeline at all. Vayehi bimei Shvoit HaShoftim, that's a shtickle timeline. Because it's not stam during the time of the Shoftim. It's during the time that we were Shoftim to Shoftim. So taka, why? What's pshat? Elimelech was a chashev. Why is this the lowest? Why is this the lowest kufa of the Shoftim? That's what it's clearly saying. Why is it the lowest kufa? So I think that this is what's behind one of the messages that's behind the Megillah. I often bring down the kasha of Rabbi Yankif. Rabbi Yankif had a gevaldige kasha. Why is it that Malchus based David, not only now, but from its beginning, started like in a weird way? Tamar. Right? Yehuda had other children, regular children, straightforward children. Right? Then they had this whole ma'aseh with Tamar, which was also one of these interesting stories. Not simple. Right? Where does David HaMelech come from? Doesn't come from Yehuda's regular marriage. comes from this marriage. Yud and Tamar, which wasn't really a marriage, it was a Yibum, whatever it was something different. Right? So really, before you even get to Boaz and Ruth, which is a little similar to Tamar, even before Yishai, before anything, it starts with a strange thing, with Yehuda and Tamar. What's Pshat? So Yankov had a great idea. Beautiful, you saw it. Yankov said, if you look in the Rambam says, HaMelech Lev Ha'om. The king is the heart of the people. What does that mean? The king can't think as an individual. Everybody has to be a Baal Chesed. The mitzvah of Chesed is to all of us, right? But the king has to be, he doesn't think for himself at all. Lev Ha'om means he has the heart of the people, right? He doesn't think about himself at all. So Rabbi Yankov said like this. He said, in order to be a king, you have to be so selfless that even the things that anybody would be looking for themselves, you're ready to give up on. What thing does everybody want for themselves, the most precious thing? Their kids. My kids are my kids. That's the most precious thing a person could have, is his children. Right? What's the reason why Oinon didn't want to marry B'miyabim, Er's wife? I mean, it's different pshat than Mechazal, but what's the pshut of Shalmikra? Ki loy loy yehi azora. Yehuda tells Er, B'miyabim, your brother's wife, and the children that you have from Tamar will be named after your brother. That's Yibum. That is what today is Mitzvah's Yibum. The Rishonim say that even before Matan Torah, there was a concept of Yibum. Wasn't a mitzvah yet, but the concept of Yibum existed before Matan Torah, right? So that's really what Yehuda was telling his son to do. Marry your brother's wife and be make him shame. What does the pasuk say? That he knew ki loy loy yehi hazara, that the zera won't be miyuchas to him. Right? Won't be miyuchas to him. I'm talking about pshuta shomik. I'm not talking about chazal have a whole stickle Torah with Zera Levatola, a whole different pshtikul Torah. But I'm just telling you, pshutei shel mikra, right? Pshutei shel mikra, the pasuk says, when Yehuda told the son what's going to be, that's what he answered him. It says in the pasuk, Vayayme Yehuda lo inon, boy aleishas achicha, v'yabei moisa, v'hokeim zera lo achicha, v'hokeim zera lo achicha. The pasuk says, "V'shichas atzel levulti nesayin zera lochiv." Vayera beni Hashem asher osa vayemes kamoisai. So, Yibum is the ultimate selflessness. Because what's happening by every Yibum? A person takes his brother's wife. It becomes, instead of his home, his brother's home. He's building his brother's home. So the one thing that everybody needs is your home. That's yours. Right? You're a king. You're a king in your house. Right? That's the one thing that's yours. And your kids are yours. Right? Yibum means my home is the hemshech of my brother's home. And my children are in his name. There can't be a more selfless action than Yibum. And Taka. The Oinon wasn't ready to do it. Hitaka wasn't ready to do it for Er. He wasn't ready. And that's what the pasuk says. Wasn't ready to do it. Zokta Biankev, in order to create Malchus, Hashem wanted it to come from Yibum. In order to create offspring that could be completely selfless, it starts with Yibum. So you're born in an environment where it's not for you. That was a Yankov's side. It's a beautiful idea that it also answers Tamar and Boaz. Tamar and Boaz was the same thing. Boaz went to make a Yibum, which wasn't Mamash Achi of Yibum, depending on how you learn the whole Geiris that we'll talk about. Wasn't a brother, so it wasn't Yibum. Even if you learned that the Geiris of Rus was proper before, when L'chatchila, from when she got married, Still, Boaz is not a brother. He's a relative, but not a brother. So it wasn't a regular chiv yibum, but it was a concept of yibum. And the Mela, now we understand that's how the Malchus started. The Malchus started. So now we could say like this. What was Elimelech? Elimelech was the opposite. The kingdom was supposed to come from him. That's where the word Elimelech comes from, Eli Melech. The kingdom was supposed to come from him. But what did Elimelech do? What did Elimelech do? He left Eretz Yisrael. Why did he leave Eretz Yisrael? Tzar HaSayin. It was a hunger. There was he was a rich man. He felt everybody's coming to him. So he decided to run away. Lock the door. Don't let the Meshulach in. Some people are like that, right? Keep the door locked. No Meshulach. A couple of people told me they went to Florida for Purim. I said, Florida for Purim? I just don't get it. Pesach, at least I hear. Purim? Go to Florida for Purim. So one guy tells me, yeah, we have a whole chev. We can't deal with the Meshulach. As Chazal say, Purim is there, kol ha'poshet yad noisnim loy. Anybody opens up a hand, you should give them. I can't deal with that. So I run to Florida. I'm ready to basically shech my Purim so I don't have to give yenna. What's Purim like in Florida? Are you sitting in a condo in Florida on Purim? What kind of Purim is that? Terence says, Purim without Meshulachim. So Elimelech ran to Moab. Comes out that action that he did totally contradicted what a leader is supposed to be. Totally contradicted what Malchus Beis David is supposed to be. Memela was Shvoit HaShoeftim. Memela, people had the ultimate chutzpah to judge the judges. Because the judge is doing something which is completely against what the characteristic is supposed to be. Here's somebody who's Eli Melech. And what does he do? Ditches them. That's the Hagdomeh to the Megillah of Rostak. Then we'll continue, but this is the Hascholeh.